morning through singing together really kind of connected some of the dots as to what the message for today is all about. Especially as we heard the Pearson girls, the guys, that was so right on. That's the end of the message. It's about Jesus shed blood for you and I. That's what it's about. It's not about Christmas presents. And so it's just kind of, oh, God does some great things, and I just appreciate how he's done that in each and every one of our lives, and we get to experience that today. I don't know how many of you, or if any of you at all, have a nativity scene. You go to either your closets or the attic or the wherever you store them, you pull them out during the Christmas season, right? You get the figures out. You probably pull out those three wise men. You know, they're kind of like dignified wise men, you know, standing there. And then you pull out, you know, the little sheep. You put them in place, or different types of animals. Probably a makeshift stable, if you will, is set out there. And you find Joseph, and you put him out there, and you set that in place. And you find Mary, and she's there, and she's sitting right there by a trough, if you will, you know. And well, I don't know what your figurine has. Maybe that trough is empty, or maybe their baby Jesus is glued in there. I don't know what. Some moms may, hey, put the trough down and it's empty, and then on Christmas Day that night they put the baby Jesus in. The kids get up and they see, you know, this is Jesus' birthday, and you tell the Christmas story. You share, there's so many different aspects. We've been traveling together for the past few weeks along that line, and the figures represent, I want to tell you, real people. Real people whose lives have been changed and impacted. Individuals who were eyewitnesses. In fact, God fulfills his promise through this nativity scene and the person, the work of his son coming as a babe. Jesus Christ, who paved the way for eternal life. It was an incredible event in history, worth telling over and over and over and over again. This is a great news. I love some of you guys are very bold. You'll hear people say, Happy Holidays. No, Merry Christmas, right? No, Merry Christmas. It's about Christ. My hope this morning is that we might stop to think about our response to God's greatest gift, his son. And so we would respond like the shepherds, maybe, because that's going to center around a little bit of their response and what went on. As we look at this part of this Christmas story, you would respond, would you drop everything? Or would you believe in his birth and that it's really real? Not a made-up story. Would you tell others? Better yet, have you been telling others? And pointing what God is doing and how God is working and the message. In the biblical Christmas story, so many people were impacted. And we looked at, remember, the first part of our time together, Mary's mother. I know you're like, oh, I didn't read about that, Pastor. And yeah, we kind of gave some liberty here and painting that picture here. And at first, we were shocked by, the mom was shocked we saw by that pregnancy message. Hey, I'm expecting. Her daughter's going to her, and she's speaking and wondering what her daughter had done. You know how that comes over you if you were to hear that kind of a news. What? How did this? However, after all, Mary had shared with her mom, if you remember, and the encounter that she had with the angel speaking to her, her mom fixed her eyes on God. And we walked away that Sunday. What is God going to do? What is God going to do? Maybe you've been thinking along that lines for several weeks now. What is God going to be doing? In and through the story, the Christmas story. Joseph was preparing, if you remember, that big event. He's going to get married. This is exciting stuff, you know. Got my bride, you know, I'm going to get this home built for her. We're going to get married. Finds out unexpected change in his life is going to take place. He's a real figure. These are real people. Mary told him she's pregnant. Mary told Joseph the story. He knew the baby was not his. He's wrestling in his heart and his mind on how to navigate through this. I'm going to divorce her silently. I don't want to dishonor her. I'm going to respect her. However, the angel appears to Joseph. You guys remember that part of the story, right? And makes it very clear that this is God's plan. Joseph, this is my plan, God says to him. And I want you to respond accordingly. He fixes his eyes on God's plan. He moves forward in obedient trust, blind trust, if you will, that God is who he says he is and he's in control. Today we're going to look at the shepherd's response to Jesus' birth, and the scene is going to be looked at from a gospel account of Luke chapter 2. So take your copy of the Word of God. You can follow along with me. And just in way of background, before I ask God's blessing on the reading of his Word here, we got the shepherd's response to Jesus' birth. Augustus Caesar has this decree. It goes out. It opens up with that line and orders this census. We're going to do a count. We're going to do a head count. And he does this specifically every 14 years. The powers that be, the Roman government, if you will, they want money, tax. We're going to charge you a little something here. Caesar makes sure the money keeps coming in, and so therefore Joseph had to register in his hometown. So he packs up his family, and you know the scene, but it's like an 80-mile walk or by donkey traveling. Not an easy journey. And so after that, arriving there, just short of getting to Jerusalem, to the town of Bethlehem, as we know the storyline, his wife's well into the last phase of childbirth, you know, ninth month, man, the final hour. The point is, this was no accident. This was no accident. Prophecy is being fulfilled. God's story, the Christmas story, is prophecy fulfilled. The word in the book of Micah would come and say it would come to pass, Micah chapter 5. Jeremiah records things. You can keep going and looking. You can look out throughout the pages of Scripture. A lot of stuff foretelling in the response of Jesus coming, whether it's the Psalms or the Gospels or John. You see it recorded throughout the pages. God says it in his word, and he keeps his promises. At this point, Bethlehem, you know, as Joseph and Mary had traveled, you know, it's full. It's a full house. You know that part of the story, right? Bethlehem, normally a quiet little town, obscure little town, kind of off the on the way en route, the city before the big city, you know, and it's packed. There's no room, no place to lay their heads, no lodging. Maybe an hour down the road they could try to get to Jerusalem, but I guarantee you they would have found the same thing. The roads were jammed, and so Joseph and Mary went from inn to inn and trying to find accommodations. And one of the characters in God's story is the innkeeper. Made room for him in his place. Some scholars give different views on that, whether it's the hillside in the cave or whether it's the structure that they were in. But the point being is they found room, and it was with animals. It was in a lowly place, really. Meanwhile, Mary went into labor, and baby Jesus was born. The Lord of all eternity of this world humbly enters into and is with us, born as a child, living amongst mankind. The shepherds, you know, they're out in their field doing their thing. They're part of that Christmas story, that nativity scene that we opened up with describing. We had, you know, the wise men, and we had Joseph and Mary and the manger and baby Jesus there, not there, but going to be put in there. And we had the shepherds. The shepherds came to see this because something significant happened in their lives. The shepherds were in the area, probably tending their flocks out in the field. And at this time, the birth of Jesus, this huge host of angels appears before them. You know the scene. You can probably close your eyes, and maybe you're doing that even right now, and you're picturing this. You're thinking about it. What an incredible scenario. Announced Jesus' arrival to the shepherds that night. And here's where we're going to pick up the story. Again, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth found in the pages of Scripture. Thank you for your word that reveals your love for us. deep, deep love. Jesus, thank you for being obedient and the whole journey that it takes to get to the cross. Lord, thank you. And thank you for giving us your Spirit and your written word. Thank you for all these things that you've gifted to us. Lord, may we give back to you because you so graciously and generously have given unto us. We pray this and pray a blessing on your word this morning. We pray, amen. So you're there with me. The words are going to be on the screen. You can follow along with your own text. And it says this, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, great joy, that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was this angel of a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings. They told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen and had been told them. So as we look at our text this morning, as we look at how the shepherds responded, really, to the birth of Jesus Christ, we might ask ourselves, and I want to encourage us, what are the principles we can walk away? What are the takeaways here from that experience that was experienced that night by the shepherds? Oh, I believe one of the first clear takeaways is this. Looking at this story, see its truth and believe. A takeaway would be to see the truth that is there in the text of Scripture and believe it. Really believe it. Sometimes we'll read the Christmas story or we'll read stories within the pages of Scripture and we don't see the significance of the story. We kind of like blow right past it. Not taking time to ponder and wonder and let the Spirit of God and the Word of God speak to our hearts. We don't really believe it's really real. You know, some of the biggest arguments or crazy stories that have happened in the pages of Scripture, oh, that whale thing, I don't know, that's really real. Why did God write about it? Oh, I don't know if an ark was really real. Why did God? Oh, that tower. There's all these stories. The point is, when we own something in our hearts, when we own it in our hearts, like the truth of Christ's birth that we're looking at and being reminded today, and really believe he made a way for our salvation, our lives should be changed, transformed. You know, I kind of crossed it out, but I'm going to share it anyways for sake of time. But, you know, when my firstborn was to be born, Elizabeth, my wife says, "Honey, you need to get the kids' room ready. Honey, you need to get the kids' room ready." And it's like, okay. You need to paint that thing. And I'm thinking, I put it off until, like, okay, the baby's coming home. My baby girl Elizabeth's coming home. And I'm there painting the room the day. It's like, why'd you wait? Now it's really real. Notice what happened to the shepherds in Luke 2, 8 through 11. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So if you remember, the shepherds were men of faith. And I think that faith really could stem from this. They went to the temple morning and evening. They dropped off these sacrificial lambs. They heard the truth. They supplied this and they listened to it. And there was probably some level of understanding and belief on their part, really. And the Old Testament scripture speaks to this, and we anticipate this arrival. And so they kind of had the backdrop a little bit in the back of their minds, and just a way, a bit of background, a normal custom for announcing something that we see here, like that of baby Jesus, you know. Musicians would come to a home, and they'd be outside playing music and making the announcement known to all those around. However, God took this announcement to the night skies and the angels and the just shining all around. Are you picturing this? Are you hearing this? He gives a message to shepherds. And if you know anything about shepherds, they're the lowliest of the low in society's standpoint of things. They're the firsthand experience right now going on in their lives. Notice the response that is recorded by the gospel, in the Gospel of Luke 2:9. They were filled with great fear. That would be a shock. Yeah, that's not surprising. Then it goes on to say in the following verses, they heard the angels. They dropped everything. They saw baby Jesus. They went to go see. This message was brought to them and they acted on it. They didn't keep it. They let everyone know what had happened. And I'm really looking forward to emphasizing that part, because that's God's challenge to us, his word, his mandate to us, if you will, to go and make that announcement known. Tell others. Luke 2:16 says, and they went with haste, dropped everything, took off to Bethlehem, basically, and found Mary and Joseph, the baby, lying in the manger, and they saw it. They made known the sayings that had been told them concerning the child. So you got the angel of the Lord, you got the messengers, the teachers of the God's people, and being at the temple. They're hearing this throughout their lives, and now they're instructed to do something with it. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Why was this such a significant moment? Well, the combination of the shepherds' knowledge of God's promise and the angel's appearance to them, and then you got the angel's message specifically to these men, and then finally you add the eyewitness of baby Jesus. What they said was really real, and it happened, and it took place. Now they're experiencing this firsthand. The point is, God really did what he said he would do. So long ago, this was an amazing night. It's a night to remember. It's a night to ponder. It's a night to connect the dots with and see how the truth lies. Here's what's interesting for you and I to see today. God has called humble shepherds. He's called you and I. Humble people, right? Men who have never had communication class, men who had no social power. These men being on the front line of telling God's story, the greatest story ever told. These shepherds were going to be proclaiming this. God pursued them. Their hearts were open to him. Notice those things. As a result, they told everyone about that night until the day that they had died. Here's another thing we can learn from the shepherds. Our second takeaway for this morning is taking God's word, hear it, and believe it. So you take in God's word, hear it, and believe it. So what does that look like? Well, we have a serious listening problem in our society today. I really believe that to be true because we're on our cell phones. We're distracted all the time. I can tell you how many accidents I drive by almost every day on the freeway. And I guarantee you at least 50% of them, they're on their phone doing something. We're listening to music. We're doing things while people are instructing us. We're in there in these conversations. And we're watching TV. You know, we're thinking while someone else is talking. Like, I do that all the time. Bad Pastor Troy. I just don't listen sometimes, you know. Let's take some time to listen this morning. Notice what the shepherds did that night. They stopped, they paused, and they listened to the angel's instructions. They stopped, and they paused, and they listened to the instructions. The angel said, "Fear not," in Luke 2:10. And the baby is born in Bethlehem, it goes on to say, and it'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and it'll be lying in a manger in the lowliest of places you could ever be born. Wow. The point is, they took all these things into account, dropped everything, and followed through to see this. Look for all these signs that were told of. They found it. They found it in exactly how the angels had said. Their faith in God grew by leaps and bounds, I believed. Became very strong. Look at what God's word tells us. Romans, in the gospel, in Romans, it says 10:17. So faith does what? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's where it comes from. What is faith? Faith is the confidence that God is who he says he is. That's having faith. And does what he says he'll do. God does what he keeps his promises. He does what he says he'll do. And we saw this as we traveled through the first five books of the Bible. Well, Genesis we're in. Not even gone past Genesis yet. You know, we see God does what he says he's going to do. Faith is the basis of your salvation, not your works. I love how Scripture supports Scripture. You know a good supporting verse for that statement right there? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Another good one is Romans 3, 27 and 28. But there's a myriad of verses that support that. The people in the Bible got God's message through angels or dreams and visions, sometimes directly from God. Those theophanies that appeared where he appears to them. And we have seen this with individuals like the man Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph's life as we're going through that. God made them, gave them a message, and he also made a promise to them. He enters into this covenant relationship. He's keeping that promise, and we're experiencing that through remembering this story. Take it in and living by it is the next step, really. Taking this in and living by it, and living it out, if you will. Their faith grew over time. Each of those people I've mentioned, each of the things that we've studied, if you sit there and look at your own life, how's it going? Are you growing in faith in God? Are you growing in your understanding of God and his word? Here's the point. We have God's very word. We have the complete written word of God. We're able to read it and study it. We might think, well, that book's too big. There's too many things going on in there. And you know what? True that. True. I remember being a young believer in faith and thinking, how am I going to ever put all the dots together, understand all this stuff? Or we don't understand some of the things that are going on, you know? However, God's word holds its promise. He's going to reveal himself to you. He promises his gift for us. And we know this in the light of what's been fulfilled through the pages of Scripture. Psalms 119, 130 states this, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." It's kind of like the illustration of your word is a light unto my path. It's spoken about that in God's word. Your word is a light unto my path, and it leads me and it guides me. I invite you to have faith in God's gift of his only son if you don't have that. God's son who came to save you and I. Another principle to take away from this shepherd story, I believe, our third takeaway would be, once you believe in the Lord, tell others about him. I think probably that's one of the biggest struggles for most believers, is sharing God's story. Luke 2, 17 through 18 says this, "And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them." That phrase, "made known," and all who heard. The shepherds went from quiet men, I believe, to bold, confident men. They didn't care what others thought, and they knew that what they saw. They helped others to understand. They showed people that God kept his promise, and that people heard this. May that be indicative of who we are and how we respond to God's story. We have a little video of the response of the shepherds' wives to kind of mix in here to our message this morning. Just take a look at this really quick.
He and I have a rhythm and a routine here in our humble home, and that morning he was messing it up. See, he comes in at 7:12 every morning on the nose. I hear his boots hit the floor. I make the coffee. He washes the pasture off of him, and we take our toast to the patio. That's our thing. He's a quiet man, likes the one-word answers, that one. And then he's off to bed. He keeps the herd at night. Oh, how my parents looked at me when I told them that I'd fallen in love with a shepherd boy. But that's a story for another time. Or never. But that morning, there were no boots. Only quiet. Quiet like my husband. Before I could get to the front door, it slammed. It was loud. It was different. As if the front door knew something I didn't know. My husband yells for me. He yells for me. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's lost the herd. He's out of breath. He's saying my name as he takes my face in his big hands. His eyes, they're full of fear. No, awe. Tears are running down his face, and he can't stop talking, ranting about this bright light that fell out of the sky and angels. Yes, that is what I said, angels, hundreds of them all over the field proclaiming good news. But what did he mean, good news? Now I know my husband, the shepherd. He will never hold the scepter of a king, never sit with dignitaries to solve the world's problems, never even be invited to a meal where he has to wear a suit. But he was given the greatest edict in all the land, all the world, actually, called to the front lines by God himself to proclaim this good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I can see it in my sleep now. I can see it sometimes too. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. God was pleased with my husband, the shepherd. His boots hit the floor a little later on these days, and that's okay, because he is telling anyone who will listen the good news.
Notice with me what the shepherd's wife had just said at the end there. She said, you know, God was pleased with my husband, that he was trying to share this message. He was sharing this message with anyone who would hear the good news and boldly proclaiming it. Here's the point. When God does something in your life, like save you from that penalty of sin, it's worth it to tell others. You have to be the best. You don't have to be the best communicator. You don't have to know the right words. You don't have to be well educated. You share what God's done in your life. You know, the art of telling stories is a very, very powerful tool. And at the heart of a true faith in story is the story of what your life was like before you came to Christ. Well, I was young, you know. Well, what does that look like? Be young and not know much about God, and what has God done in your life? That's part of that story. what your life is like now that you understand and you believe and you trust. How has it changed and transformed your life? I'm going to add, because this is an important takeaway, that we're really commissioned to do this. But you know what? I firmly believe, earn the right to be heard. Build those relationships, those bridge those gaps that are there. And they're getting wider. We live in a day and age in a society where that gap's getting wider. The difference of opinion and the concerns of worrying about how one would respond. You know, don't be fearful of that, because this is God's story in and through you. The last takeaway the shepherds experienced in the field was fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ. Fixing your eyes on the Lord is an important takeaway that I want to leave us with. The shepherds anticipated Jesus coming. They were watching, they were fixing their eyes on God. They saw this firsthand. They got to experience it. They heard the message. They went and checked it out, and they focused on what God was doing, not self. We focus on self so much. As a result, look at what Luke records in Luke 20. And the shepherds turned and glorified and praised God for all they heard and seen as it had been told to them. That term, that word used, glorify, meant that they magnified God. They gave it dignity, held it in honor and respect. They gave him worth. He was above all in the center of their hearts. And these were human things that are being done. God automatically is worthy of all that and then some. Anyone who met would know from then on, because they told them. They shared it. And honestly, you know, that's the challenge for us, to do that, to live that out, to exercise this. Notice the other term used, praise God. They praised God, and it meant that when they opened their mouth, they exalted God. I work with a few different men, and this one young man, I really love John. He's very on fire, if you will. He praises God all the time. He exalts God all the time. It just spews out of him. It bubbles out of him. It's a good thing to see that happen and experience that. They praised him. They honored him. The shepherds did this. And everyone would know this, and they would see this. Another example of being fixed on Jesus, or fixing on what God was doing, is to notice in this whole nativity scene the character of Mary for a moment with me, if you will. Luke records this in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. Pondering, treasuring, clinging to, Mary took the time to connect the dots. Have you connected the dots? She took all that she knew from the scriptures and that was told to her, and as she went and sat in the back and listened in the synagogue, you know, she took all that she knew about God. She is and sees what's going on, and she hears, she has that. She's just connecting all these dots that have happened in her life. Notice Hebrews 12:2 with me for a moment and what it says, because it's an important passage of scripture that supports what we're talking about, I believe. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. It's about the blood. It's about the cross. That's what Christmas is about. Him coming and living amongst us. Despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What if you stopped for a moment? What if you and I stopped for a moment and pondered all that God is doing? What if you just didn't read the Christmas story as a tradition? Grandpa gets out the book, opens it up, reads the story as a tradition. I mean, sharing this message today has got my wheels turning about Christmas morning with family and extended family, and just wanting to hear what they think about God's story. and how it's impacted them and changed them. And my, as a pastor's heart, want to hear how you've shared that story. Instead, treasure what God did for you that night, maybe. Treasure it so deeply. Next time you look at the nativity scene, you think about and you remember the shepherds, and you remember the thoughts that Mary had and how she treasured these things and really connected the dot, and how Joseph had to make a change. When you come to that, once again, the Christmas was all about Jesus. Do you believe it to be really real? Do you believe this story to be really real? Fix your eyes on Jesus. My hope is that you know this. Jesus is eternal life. He's free for us. He's freed us from the slavery of sin, sin that separates us from God. I like emphasizing that. It's something that's been near and dear to me, is that once was lost, separated, not in a relationship. Now I am in Christ Jesus, and he's in me. The question finally becomes a personal one. Do you believe this? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe the Christmas story? Are you willing to step forward, really, and make that commitment if you haven't? Better yet, if you already believe and you know this, are you going to share it? Tell this story to others. The gift of eternal life is free, and all that it requires for you is to speak from your heart to God. Acknowledge that you believe in Jesus. Acknowledge this and choose to, from this moment forward, to love him and be obedient to him and walk in Christ Jesus, knowing that he died for your sins and he forgives you for your sins, cleanses you, as scripture says, from all unrighteousness. You accept this free gift of forgiveness. Once you've asked Jesus to come into your life, it happens. You have the gift of salvation. You have the gift of eternal life. You will next be with God, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. It's not drug out. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is in your life. He's going to help light your path. You have the whole written word of God. You can get to know your Savior. Are you doing that this Christmas season? Let's pray. Father, I come into your presence and just want to thank you for your word and how it reminds us and encourages us. And this is your story, God, that you love so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for doing that. And Jesus, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, and thank you for giving us the written word of God that gives us a glimpse into who our Lord and Savior and God is. Bless the day. Bless the preaching and teaching of the word. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.